purpose was to keep your strength up for what's coming next.
What's coming next is I'm hanging up.
Oh, no, you won't. You're going to learn to obey me.
Obey you? Who is this?
Someone who enjoys watching you.
Watching?
Yes, I love the suit you're wearing today. The black on raspberry sorbet, very Italian.
Where are you?
There are hundreds of windows out there. Why don't you check them out?
Yeah? So what am I doing now?
You're scratching your head. Now you're brushing your hair back. That's not very nice, Stu.
Phone Booth, 2002, Joel Schumacher movie. What are those episodes called in a TV show? A bottle episode? This is like a bottle movie. That's what it feels like.
Yes. Is that another bottle movie than that? I swear there's a movie. Is it The Room? Is that one with Brie Larson? She won the Oscar for it.
Yes, I'm not too sure.
I'd be surprised. It's called The Room. I assume it's in one room.
Well, there's two movies called The Room, and this there's one good one and one better one. If you haven't seen Tommy Wiseau's The Room, get on it now. So, Tony, let's talk about your first experience with this movie. Did you like it? I haven't seen this movie probably since 2002, 2003. I like the cover, but it does hurt how the movie is contained to one phone booth. Like Michael Bay apparently said, okay, I love the script, but how do we get him out of the phone booth? So, yeah.
Actually, if you could pick a director to take over, because Schumacher, he is definitely a serviceable director. Yes. I feel like his best work is Lost Boys. And I think that's only because of the 80s fucking style of it all.
Sex man.
Yeah, no, but like I think the 80s was his decade where his style really flourished.
Yeah.
Because do you think once he hits the 90s with, I guess it's only Batman, Robin, Batman Forever, really was like. Well, then again, he's got a couple of bangers. He's got 8mm. He's got A Time to Kill, which is great. Oh, my God. He's actually got a couple of good ones sprinkled out for his career. But I feel like he's at his peak in the 80s with The Lost Boys. I mean, that's my favorite movie of his, which is actually funny because it stars Kiefer, too.
So talking from Kiefer, Spielberg and Harrison Ford, is that like Kiefer and Schumacher?
I think four times they've worked with each other.
Yeah. You wouldn't go as much as like Scorsese and De Niro because they didn't work with each other that much. No. Harrison Ford's only indie, right? Did they do anything else together?
Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
So you didn't tell me about your first experience with this, bro.
I remember as a kid, I thought it was a really good premise because I always thought it was a twist ending because it's a famous actor. There's the sniper. That's what I always thought. Like, it's a twist. It's like a famous, but obviously if you have a keen ear, you'd know, hey, that's Kiefer Sutherland. I feel
it's aged better. Sorry? I don't think Kiefer was a bigger, I said age better now here, because you know it's Kiefer. Because of 24. But like, has he done since Lost Boys? I think he did Three Musketeers, which we covered.
Was he the star in Flatlines?
Yeah, he was the wild man. Like, he was a guy who loves
Flatline. I haven't seen that Flatline movie.
Haven't you? Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Good premise, say. It's like they kill themselves to see the other side, right? And they get revived.
It gets addictive. But then, like, things from the other side follow you back into the real world.
It's kind of similar to Talk to Me, right? That sort of vibe.
Yeah, same sort of vibe.
You get addicted to it. It's dangerous.
It's pretty cool. But yeah, but it's Kiefer Sutherland who's, like, trying to push him. Let's do it. He's very intense. He has a very good intensity about him. Very interesting because, like, Donald Sullivan as well. Very different actors. I don't think there's probably a bit of nepotism there, but I feel like I feel like they have enough of their own career now.
Yeah.
Stand By Me, Kiefer. Like, that was an amazing, scary performance. We should maybe just mention Rob Reiner because we just Stand By Me. Tony, you hear about the news about that guy?
Yeah, he's as a parent, it's pretty intense to fucking your own kid kills you, which is crazy.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing at all. But his movies will live on, and we'll enjoy them for years to come.
Yes,
I have to watch Spinal Tap, and then Spinal Tap 2.
Yes,
it's my blind spot with him.
So I started watching Spinal Tap, and then something came up, and I
is it good?
Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah, it's funny? Really funny. Yeah, it's groundbreaking because I was listening to the mockumentary. Rob Reiner. It's more like they didn't have a script when they filmed.
So
very much Larry David style, like if you Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you know how he writes that, so it's like a slight outline, and just play out the scenes. And so he kind of pioneered that, 1984. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about my first experience with this. I probably watched this with you. I think like it starts really strong, but does lose its steam down.
You know why? Because Schumacher has to make the booth more cinematic. I feel like
it does change slightly.
Shane,
Breaking Glass. Right.
I'll give you what are the top three movie moments with a phone booth.
Matrix is number one.
Yeah, I thought you wouldn't remember that one. That's of course when
that's Trinity, like iconic.
Trinity touches the glass. Yeah. Fuck, that's so cool. Number two.
What is it? Number two. Well, probably with Speed, how he's like talking to the thing. I think it's
Speed.
A moment in Speed. I feel like, yeah, there's a moment in Speed where he talks to him over the payphone.
No,
it's pretty
man.
Badass.
What about Superman changing into Clark Kent? Well, changing from Clark Kent to Superman. And then you got Dumb and Dumber. Get off the phone.
Oh, yeah, he punches him through it. Well, isn't that Blues Brothers too? I think it's a similar scene in Blues Brothers.
Nah. But anyway, but look at Fincher. And if I say Fight Club, and you think of can you think of the payphone scene in that? How cinematic that is?
Don't they beat someone up in the payphone? Like
what the fuck? No, it's like the way the cameras shoot.
Oh
up
yeah.
The dial
is this
pad.
When he works out like, can I talk to Tyler Durden? Or like, what room number is Tyler Durden? Is that when he?
No,
no,
you don't remember it. But
anyway. Oh no, yeah, no, sorry, that's no, I remember now. He calls Tyler Durden.
Yes, and yeah,
because he. Yeah, he's
what's up?
He's, yeah, his house. He's, yes, Brad Pitt.
No, but that like Patton look how he shoots doing. The hey, he shoots the fucking the phone itself. It's like it like engaging.
Well, all right. Well, I'm gonna give Joe Schumacher his props because this is definitely. I don't know. I think he's maybe trying something new in this. Like a lot of it reminds me of Spike Lee. What some of the shots he's going for and the pacing and like little like.
Do you know why it feels the pacing feels quick?
Why?
Because they shot this in 10 days.
That's so good.
10 days. Yeah. And they were saying like, it was this sort of thing. It's like usually like a 4-week shoot or something. They did
yeah,
it
we
10
don't
days.
Need to take too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so what do you think about Colin Farrell then? What do you think about Colin Farrell in this?
Oh, he's amazing. In this. Like you tell he's amazing. Did you not think he's good? I loved it.
Like I feel like
he's
5 years.
Like, you
sorry,
can tell
after,
he's a little bit green, but
yeah,
he's hitting his marks.
No, I feel like if he did this in 2011, so much better. Like after in Bruges, where he kind of like settled back in.
But he gets the experience. I think he was only 23 or 24 when he filmed this. Well, he's insane to think about that age and the performance he actually gives.
He's a stud, and yeah, he definitely had Hollywood. Like he was like the it kid. What was he in Tigerland briefly? Like someone saw him in Tigerland.
Yeah, well,
and
Joel
like,
Schumacher
blew him up.
Joel
was
Schumacher,
it, was it?
Yeah, he directed Tigerland. He gave him his big break.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, and then I think a lot of people turned this movie down. And as soon as Schumacher,
it's hard.
Told
it's
it.
So hard. It's
well,
it's
I think Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson was offered it. Will Smith.
Yeah, Mel Gibson was too old. I reckon you need like a cocky up and comer. That's what you need.
Mm.
So this is actually pretty good casting. I think what lets him down is his accent.
Ah,
yeah, you know what I mean.
It slips.
Yeah.
It slips.
So I think, ordinary decent people. Oh, sorry, ordinary decent criminal. I think that's is that Kevin Spacey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he helped Colin Farrell as well.
With the
helped
with
discover
accent.
Him. No, helped discover him.
Okay.
So like you know, because like Kevin Spacey's gay. Joe Schumacher's gay. Like maybe they're talking the same circles. I don't know. but, you know, but anyway, this is he's on the precipice of his career. So it's pretty big swing. Like, is this his first leading man role? He's on the poster. He's banging it. So crazy. Like, he did Minority Report the same year. I love Minority Report. But we'll cover that eventually.
He kept up with Tom Cruise. He didn't, like, just get overshadowed by him.
Yeah, hell yeah. He's already the second best performance in that. The part where he's like grilling
the
Tom
shaved
Cruise.
Chick, the bald headed girl. She was here to do a good performance.
Nah, not that great. It's an interesting story though. I listened to Colin Farrell, like doing an interview, and he talked about Minority Report. And he's like, I don't want the film You lose Irish accent. I don't want to film on the day after my birthday. Like, I'm going to be all like drunk and fucked up. And like, no, we're not going to reschedule shooting days for you. Anyway, and so like he went to like work extremely hungover apparently. And like it was the scene where he's like sweating and like trying to, he's like barfing and shit. It's like just before he films with like Tom Cruise. So remember that? Remember how he does seem like real seedy and all fucked up? Like, you know how he's like chewing the gum and shit?
Yeah.
I remember, like, you remember how he looks. But yeah, it makes more sense now. He does look like a bit strung out, sort of.
Yeah. Well, like, so Tom Cruise, like, dude, be more professional.
Oh, well, like, you're 20. Wait, you'd be 23, so he's young. Like. I don't know, you live your life, mate. It takes a lot to think.
We've done that before. Go to work, hungover.
Yeah, well, okay, so when did Colin Farrell give up then? Like, there's a point where acting wasn't top priority. Obviously, he swung it back around. Was it after Daredevil or what?
No, it was more like SWAT.
I think it was the same
year. I don't know.
There was a downfall in his career.
I'll have a look at his career right now. So, yeah, Daredevil, 2003. Veronica Guin, which I think it's a cameo, but SWAT. Alexander, but that's a good movie. The director's cut.
Yeah.
Bit of Miami Vice, but in Bruges, 2008. So, wasn't that.
Hear that, like, Michael Mann, Joe Schumacher, Steven Spielberg. Like, he's working with, like great directors throughout the time. But wait, did Joel Schumacher, did he have a stain on his career since like Batman and Robin?
Yeah, I feel like he never got a big, real big budget like that ever again. He'll never get a franchise again, ever. And it sucks because
he was just doing what he was told.
Look at Tim Burton. They got out of Tim Burton's way. He made two successful movies. They were
didn't really get out of his way.
Critics loved
him. Batman Returns, there was like heaps of pressure to do certain things. And that's why he didn't do the third, because he's fuck you guys.
Oh, and you think Schumacher's like, all right, I got the money. I think we discussed this in Batman Forever. But yeah, I got the money. I do what you want. You want him and nipples?
He kind of sold out, really. Like, he did the sold out move. Who was that director? Just like, oh, yeah, no, David Lynch. So when David Lynch did like Dune, like, because they told him, like, to cut so much out. Like, he didn't get the director's cut. And so usually Dune, like, he filmed, like, a four hour version of it. Or maybe 3.5 or 4 hours, like, a long version.
Yeah, probably like, trying to do the proper adaptation. Yeah,
probably adaptation. And the studio said you have to cut it to 2 hours and 15 minutes because anything more, you lose one screen in a day. Getting your screenings in. And so you have to cut it. And he's just like, he's like, I died twice doing that. It's like once when I fucking like gave up my artistic credibility, and second when the movie failed.
Damn.
So it's like you're better off just making the movie you want to make and just live with the results.
And it doesn't work anyway. It's like fucking God.
So ever since then, like David Lynch has done his own thing. It was pretty funny because apparently, like on set of Dune, he was just like, because you could try to vibe out, like it's such a hard like adaption, especially for then with the like technology and stuff. Apparently, he was like just holding onto his blue velvet script like really tight, and just fucking like using that as like a parachute, essentially. Like, okay, I'm gonna be fine. Like, I've got this.
Like, this is my back pocket.
Well, like, no, like this is me. Like I think he regrets doing Dune. Like, just like, in the moment, like as if you're gonna turn it down, man. I think he just did Elephant Man, Elephant Man, and like Elephant Man was a huge Oscar buzzy movie.
Yeah.
And so, like, and Dune was huge. Like, everyone loved Dune. Like, there was a massive sci-fi book. So, they fucking, he couldn't say no. You know what I mean? You could not say no for that opportunity.
Yeah, hell no. Especially if he was a fan of the books.
Oh, yeah. And, like, it's apparently Star Wars stole everything from it. Damn. Star Wars took a lot of Dune, like, Skywalker.
So the Force Atreides. Was the spice, right?
Yeah, that's similar to that, yeah. Yeah, but it just sucks that, but we didn't really get more Schumacher. Like, because what do you do after this?
Well, how many movies have we covered from his, Shane?
We should know. Four.
What are the four?
Number 23, Phantom of the Opera, Batman Forever, and now this.
Yeah, that's like De Palma level.
This
will be covering 8mm, The Lost Boys, and probably Flatliners now. Flatliners. Cool.
And maybe Fallen Down. I do love Michael Douglas.
Yeah. He's good.
But you kind of step in my questions for later. That was one of the questions I had for you.
Wow.
Like, who do we cover more, De Palma or Joel Schumacher?
Well, I think it's De Palma.
I thought you might have forgot about Phantom of the Opera. That's all.
It's just crazy because it does not feel like a Schumacher.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying, man. His post-Batman career, I feel like all his movies feel wildly different. Like, if you watch 8mm, watch this, and then watch Phantom of the Opera, it's all different. They all have a different feel. I don't know if that's a testament to his directing abilities or not. Like, because, you know, some people have, like, a similar style. Like, you kind of go in, like, you go to Tarantino movie for Tarantino, like, for what he's got. Like, yeah, maybe Guy Ritchie's similar, because sometimes Guy Ritchie can do, like, his director for hire shit. But I don't feel that way with Joel Schumacher, though. It just feels different.
Well, he's fearless, I reckon. He doesn't.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think after Batman Forever.
He got all this thing. He made all his choices.
Batman and Robin, he's just like, nah.
Well, yeah, they can do. They can't kill me. Like, yeah, I still can make
still,
movies.
He still apologizes for it to this day. It's so fucking funny.
Well, he claims that's what the director's for. Like, if we take all the good, but we take all the bad too. Because obviously it takes a whole team to make a movie. But they get all the credit, all the blame. So he's happy to take all the blame.
Yeah. He doesn't deserve all the blame. He definitely do. But
I know, no, but he tried to throw the screenwriter under the bus too. He was like, well, the screenwriter wrote it. I just made it with him. But he's like, I'll take the blame. That's what the director does.
I think it was like I think when there's like a Blu-ray release of all the Batmans and shit, I think they're like interviewing for like a interview, like for the Blu-ray. He's just like, I just want to start out saying I'm sorry for Batman.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's like Forever. Forever has got a nice nostalgia place.
Yeah. Val Kilmer. He does get good performances out of his leads. We'll give him that. I feel like he'll be good to work with.
I think he's described as an actor's actor.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think he's blaming Larry Cohen.
A director's actor.
Yeah, so you saw he's a screenwriter for Batman and Robin, blaming him, but Larry Cohen, who screenwrote this, very interesting career as well. Like, very similar to Joel Schumacher's, like, varied career. Like, all these movies are a bit different, right? You want to run through what he's done, Tony?
That's a good way to describe him. He's a B movie maker, which is obviously this is a good B movie too, but with a bigger budget, I guess.
Yeah, it's just the name.
It was filmed with like independent, like a film was filmed like it was independent, like low time restraints.
It's kind of weird, man, because I don't know if this the writer of this, because he did the so his next movie he wrote was Cellular with Chris Evans and
cell phone movie.
Yeah, Chris Evans, Jason Statham. And Kate Bassinger. And it's about a hostage situation too. It's kind of like stepping on the same sort of tread.
Yeah.
I think it's a smaller budget and stuff. I don't know who directed it either.
But I like that Larry Cohen actually pitched this movie to Alfred Hitchcock, like the story, like a guy stuck in a phone booth,
Like back in the 80s or whatever.
The 60s. But he's just like, nah, why is he in the booth? Like, why is he staying in the booth?
Yeah, I still don't think they work it out. Yeah, well, I don't think they worked it out either. I think it's pretty weird.
No, the sniper's good. That's how that was his solution. Once he's like, oh, I've got a sniper there.
Yeah, sniper's good, but I think the character. All right, we'll talk about it when we go to the plot breakdown.
Would you prefer a little bomb attached to the doors or something?
No. I feel like the sniper does work, but I feel like the characters and stuff don't really work. Or maybe the cast in Colin Farrell as that character doesn't work.
Yeah, so, I would say that's my big great. Yeah. The thing is, he's too likable, Colin Farrell.
But you need to be likable, bro. So I feel like sleaziness.
I hate it in the making of featurette. Yeah. Everyone, all the crew members are like, oh yeah, the hero of the story is Colin Farrell. They keep referring to him as a hero. I'm like, he's not a hero at all.
This is never a protagonist back then.
I know, but I hate how they're using that. He's not a hero to me.
Yeah.
He's a lying scumbag. So just he gets a second chance.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about more. So there's the highlights of Larry Cohen. Q, is like that serpent movie. I've seen that.
Yeah, that's great. There's a good performance by that one guy, a random dude.
Yep.
It surprised me how good that performance was. It's like, who's this guy?
Yep. The Stuff, Maniac Cop, Body Snatchers. I have to watch like the 93 remake of Body Snatchers. I was looking at that the other day.
Yeah, because the director, right?
Yeah, what's the director do? Did we cover
Abel Ferrara?
Oh, yes, Abel Ferrara. That's right. We listened to his audiobook. That's what I was looking at. That's so funny. Did you look at the same thing?
Yeah, you recommended the audiobook. I listened to half of it. I haven't finished it yet. It's pretty good stories.
He's an interesting guy. And then Miss Begotten was another movie I've like looked at and looks pretty interesting. But it's a very low-rated, like critic-wise and everything else. But I'll probably watch it this weekend. So I like... See, between me and you, Tony, I'm more of a fan of B-movies compared to you, correct?
Of what? Billions?
No, B-movies. I'm more of a fan of B-movies than you. No, I enjoy B-movies.
I enjoy B-movies.
Yeah, but I feel like I enjoy them more.
No, but you're trying to show me something that... It's not what you... No, you're going to show me a good movie when we're together, not some crappy niche B-movie that...
It's not.
I'm like, what the? I'm gonna judge it more harshly, Shane. Sort of niche. I'm a sniper rifle when I analyze it. I say when you try to show a movie, I'm gonna pick it apart.
Anyway, just so I just want to tell you who's in Misbegotten. Yes, the lead is Kevin Dillon, bro. So you know it's gonna be
the Blob fame.
Yeah, Blob fame, and it's in '97. It was like I think it was like 10 years after the Blob. So yeah, it's gonna be a banger probably. Like, just, like, laugh at. Yeah, and Mark L. Lester. Now, why does that name sound familiar?
Sounds like my Lester. I don't know, that's why.
Oh, director of Commando.
Dun, 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 dun. That's
and Showdown in Little Tokyo. All right, so Tom Cruise. I think he would be so great in The Booth. Especially at that age. Just at that time, he can be the same.
There's a reason why no one wants to do this character, because he is actually a piece of shit. And you need a...
No, but...
To be fair, you need a piece of shit actor to do it. James Woods. Bang on. Great casting right there.
A young James Woods. Or even an old James Woods. An old James Woods would work too.
Yeah, because you have the sleazy factor down.
What are you talking about, huh? Who's on the other level, huh?
Or my favourite... Actually, I think James was probably better casting, but I really think Jeremy Piven.
Oh, no, dude. What the hell? Yes, star power.
No, but you love the cockiness. No,
but be realistic, dude.
I'm just thinking, I'm thinking about the opening scene, you know, he's wheeling and dealing. Jeremy Piven's so good at that in Entourage. And you kind of like think he's
now you think about agents and stuff.
I know that, but you need a guy that
Tom Cruise.
You kind of want to see.
Show me the money. Show me the money.
Yeah. But I feel like James Woods is the cast and change.
No. Anyway, you can't really beat Tom Cruise. Bankable. Like, can do this role. Like, I don't know. But it's, as I said, man, you need to appeal to the vanity of the actor. Like, be like, okay, you're going to be on the screen the whole time. You have to carry this thing. And you'll get someone.
Well, it's a great character. Or it's a great movie to show off your range as an actor.
Well, actually, Tom Jane would be a good... No, he's not as... Tom Jane pull this off?
What do you think of charismatic... Tell me charismatic people for?
Because you need it. You need it. I'm sorry. Okay. Another thing for... This is more Colin Farrell related. Facial hair. Now, his facial hair sucked in this. It ruined his whole look.
Because they're going for the douchebag. You don't get this?
Was that actually in style, like the little chin?
No, I think
soul patch
like,
thing.
No, it's like only douches. I think it's an all time douche thing. No cool guy, like an actual cool person would grow their chin beard like that.
Okay, what other movies has like had facial hair that ruined the movie?
Well, I don't think this ruined this movie.
It's just the character. What, you serious? You don't think it hurt the movie's performance? What's wrong with him just having stubble? Like he pretty much had stubble, just had that weird chin thing.
Yeah,
or actually, I got an inverse end. Tom Selleck when he shaved his moustache.
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
like,
that's
for any of his movies. Like, that's what fucking bombed. Yeah. Or Burt Reynolds.
It's crazy how much better he looked with the mo.
Tell what, improved performance though, Tony? Especially the improved performance?
Mission Impossible, Henry Cavill, right?
Yeah, we'll put that one in there.
And then,
I was gonna
obviously,
say,
Superman.
Oh, so it's easy to name the fucking better ones. Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah, the mo.
That's crazy, though.
CGI.
You just eat the bullet literally and say, all right, but I'm going to do reshoots because
just this make looks him, like... make him have a moustache or have the stubble in the moustache or something.
No, but just no, just because the movie was done, it was finished. And they did a Tony K to fucking Zack Snyder. They took his movie from him.
I'm not a Snyder head and fuck the Snyderverse. Who cares? And fuck Marvel too. I don't give a fuck about either of them. I'm done with both of them. Marvel had its time.
With Doomsday.
Marvel, let
Doomsday's
it go.
Coming out, man.
Yeah, all this AI fake trailers and shit and pretending like Steve Rogers was coming back.
Captain America's got a kid now. He's back.
Yeah, so stupid. Yeah, no. Yeah, so the actor I thought, Tony, that facial hair improved the performance is Kalito in Kalito's Way. Like, Al Pacino's beard, it suits the character so well.
Mm.
And, like, and differentiates the stuff from Scarface, too. So far away from that. But everyone knows how famous Al Pacino is for his hair acting. I'm going to put in, if I can find it, William Friedkin talking about Al Pacino's hair.
Yeah, that's fine.
Al decided to have his hair styled by a gay barber. The look then was shorter hair. After his visit to a barber in the West Village, he came storming into the trailer. The door flew open, and Pacino appeared, screaming, "Look what they've done to me!" He was trimmed almost to a crew cut, and he no longer looked like Al Pacino. His hair was his power, like Samson's. Without it, he appeared a frail little man. This was disaster. This was not the Al Pacino audiences would recognize. He knew it and came unwound. He wouldn't do the film looking like this, nor would we. "What are we going to do?" he screamed. I tried to make light of it. "Hey, Al, what am I, a barber?" I joked.
Yeah. Colin Farrell's hair in this movie is doing overtime.
Yes. I love his fucking hair. That's what I'm saying, bro. Yeah, we'll talk about when you talk about the movie. So, Tony, you before we hopped on the podcast, you brought up Steven Spielberg and his new movie trailer.
Yes, Disclosure Day. Mm-hmm. It's the most annoying trailer because they try to do like a sound like you know like a moment of trailer viral or like something like this, like an earworm. So people are like, oh, it sticks in your head. It makes it more unsettling, I guess, but. If you see the trailer, you know it's so fucking. Well, for me, it was very annoying. But
what
essentially,
was the noise?
It's obviously the alien language that's speaking through people.
Oh, so the people are speaking it, are they?
So Emily Blunt's like a newscaster, and then I think she gets taken over, and alien what speaks through her. So, well, that's what the impression.
Telepathic sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, but that's the noise itself. And then, like, they play it a couple of times. I think the very end of the trailer ends like, that's the Goobacks in South Park.
Oh, that's such a funny fucking episode. Mm. Anyway, all right. So, yeah, Steven Spielberg, you're still back at banger though, right? Or you think he's lost it?
Nah, he hasn't made a great movie since fucking Minority Report. Nah, I'm sure. Nah, is it Captain Phillips? No, is that Captain Phillips? Is that Spielberg again?
No,
that's Paul Greengrass, maybe. Yeah, I've seen a lot. Tom Hanks' last
That guy's films. Overrated, too. Paul Greengrass. Oh, my God.
Mate, Tom Hanks' performance in that movie.
Captain
Phillips. Still sticks with me. Dude.
I've never seen
it. He literally got an Oscar for the fucking last scene. It's insane how good that is.
Well, I have to watch it then, because I've never seen
it. Mate, you have to watch the whole movie, because I don't think you can just YouTube it. Because you probably could just YouTube it, but that would ruin it. But, like, you need the whole movie there. But the last scene...
Yeah. What about when the guy goes, look at me?
Yeah, it's intense. It's a good movie. Yeah, we got to cover it one day. But it's a, yeah, I'll be like.
Can,
it was shocking for me. I was like, well, this movie's this good? Dang it.
Yeah. But how good of a time would it be, man? Because where the hell is this kind of movie now? Like, we're getting some weird Spielberg fucking alien shit. But where's the, like, the mid-budget fucking
unstreaming
release,
mate,
with some actor? This would be a great streaming movie, by the way. It's, like, cheap. But the problem is that they don't look like movies, all these streaming movies. This actually looks like a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Especially if they filmed in New York. Like, that was a fucking big get.
No, I think they did one day in New York for
you think so,
setting up the shit, like the established
the walk,
in New
the
York.
Walk and I talk.
Think the rest is in LA. Yeah, the walk and talk and stuff.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good long shot. Well, we'll start talking about the movie now. We might as well get into the questions before the movie smoothie. All right, Tony, first question. So the same year, Joel Schumacher released two movies. One, Phone Booth. The second, Bad Company, with Chris Rock and...
Damn, really?
Hannibal Lecter. Yes.
Anthony Hopkins and Chris yes. Rock.
Yes, they were the two leads.
What Which a movie? Great two-hander, eh? An old white man.
Well, I'm pretty sure they did a movie... Oh, no, it was a different movie. Like, sorry. It was Chris Rock when he's got Down to Earth, and the guy, he takes over his body. Yeah, it's like an old white guy.
Man, yes.
For some reason, I thought it was Anthony Hopkins, like just for him. If it's not, it's just some random old
That'd be actually, that'd be comical, because obviously the guy's saying the N-word, the white guy's saying the N-word. And...
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, and it's, I don't know, it's low-hanging fruit, in my opinion. And it's been done. So, which movie made more money, Tony? Bad Company or Phone Booth?
I think Phone Booth, only because of the shtick. Like, it's such a good idea
and
for a movie.
And budget.
And you can, I think it's easy to sell this movie than it would be to sell Bad Company. Even Bad Company's a bad name, too. Bad title.
Well, you're in good company because you are correct. This movie made money. Bad Company lost money. So it didn't even like reach its budget.
The Schumacher broke even in the fucking box office.
Yeah. And like obviously like this is like a low risk. This movie actually did quite well. $13 million budget. Worldwide gross, $100 million.
That's why you should hire more unknowns for actors.
Are you talking about Colin Farrell? Like, does
other Yeah, like obviously he didn't have a huge payday for this.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. He wouldn't have got too much of a leading actor fee. All right.
Yeah.
Next question.
Didn't Schumacher discover McConaughey too? Gave him his big break in A Time to Kill?
Yeah. Dude, I know Joel Schumacher just hired hot ass Matthew McConaughey because he wanted the eye candy. He was a good casting too. Oh, I don't know if he wants to sleep with him, but he just probably looks at him like, God, damn, this guy's so attractive.
Attractive.
If you've seen him, he's just like a god. He's very good looking in that movie. And the way he shoots him too is very flattering.
Does he have a shirtless scene in Time to Kill?
Yeah. I think he runs out.
Abs out.
It's like, yeah. Yeah. So I think some like racist people like start burning a cross on his lawn and like his family's there and shit. So he like runs out, like sprints after him with like, you know, the Mike Lowry fucking running Bad Boys. You know, he's like his shirt apart. Yeah. So he's got his abs and shit. Yeah. It's a good movie. I actually like that movie. Great Chris Cooper.
Like Kevin Spacey again. Yeah, hey.
Great Kevin Spacey. Great everyone. And Sandra Bullock.
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
Chris Cooper? Is it Chris Cooper?
Yeah, I've already said that. All right, anyway. So, next question. Whose watch was more expensive? Our lead characters.
They're both fake.
Stu's watch, the fake watch, or Christopher Walken's ass watch from Pulp Fiction?
Well, to be honest, which one's worth more than me? Probably the ass watch, to be honest, because it was up Chris Walken's ass, man. So it's way more valuable.
No, was it up his ass or his dad's ass?
It was up his dad's ass first, but then he died from, I think, the... Wait, I'm
I think it was just mistreated.
That he had dysentery or something. And then that's he got... Yeah, and then he almost risked his life for doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, I held this hunk of junk in my ass. For like 3 years, and now I'm giving it to back. And then he's like, yeah, I'll give it to you. But then, be honest, I don't know. Yeah, you put the. Yeah, we've got to put the quote in.
We're not putting the quote. No. It's been done.
Wait. I appreciate it if you put the sound effects or the quotes in for the movie moments for the phone booths. Can you do that?
What, when?
The Matrix getting crashed into the
phone. I'm not
doing
all that, mate. It's too much fucking work.
The phone. No, it's cool, man. It's just. Honestly, a little more effort.
I'll do it at the end. I'll do it at the end. I'll have it like a little montage of it. I don't know how well it's going to translate with.
Now, why are you doing that, man? Everyone's going to fast forward to the end to see if you actually did it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but skip all this. Is Trinity. No, it's like a little bait on a hook for them to keep listening.
So listen to the end to see if Shane actually did it.
Yeah, but like Trinity touching the glass as it smashes, like how's that going to sound cool?
No, you need the phone call. Ding, 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 ding. And then.
Oh, no, silly.
What do they call it in The Matrix? Like, I need a exit.
Jack. I need Jack in.
No, I need a Jack. I need an exit. I thought it was just, I need an exit. That's what
I said. I need an exit. What's his name? Rat Boy. No, what's his name?
Rat Boy.
Link. I need an exit.
It's Link. Well, is that the sequel guy?
What's the other guy's name? The guy who replaced him, because the other guy wanted $1 million.
So, no, fuck you.
He was asked for a massive pay raise. Like,
yes, he was like, I make a movie.
The best he actually was awesome in that fucking part.
I know, he was.
He actually way better than that guy from
Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet. He's a good actor.
The guy from From. He's a good actor, but he just doesn't have the pizzazz.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. So sentimental value, yes. Christopher Walken's
worth. Well, it's actually crazy. You said replaced it. Katie Holmes is in this movie, and she was replaced by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
All right, let's get back to the question. I think I did Google it. $300 the watch was worth in Pulp Fiction. And I don't know how much a cheap, like a fake Rolex or whatever he's got. It's like just $2,000.
It's $2,000. It's $2,000.
Yeah, so what do you reckon a fake version of that's worth?
Probably $40. Or what? Yeah, probably $50.
No, it'd be more than that. It'd be like $200, I reckon.
Okay.
It'd be 10%.
I was right. That's two in a row. Right,
give you that. And then the last question is, which director have we covered more, Joel Schumacher or Brian De Palma? And you've said what?
De Palma.
All right, so we've got Raising Kane, Dress to Kill, Scarface, Snake Eyes. We see one more. Might be a tie.
There's one more there. And maybe it's a draw now.
Wow.
So it's a draw. So
Schumacher
would win.
Is now tied.
Either answer would win.
With our main... I thought, what was the last De Palma movie we did? Oh, you know, it was De Palma. We did the one you hated with Tom Hanks. Funny you bring that up.
Oh, Bonfire of the Vanities.
Bonfire of the Vanities.
That's the worst episode. I've seen. Oh my god.
Yes.
But De Palma still wins.
De Palma wins. Hey. All right. Let's get into the movie smoothie. Or let's get into order some pizza to deliver to this phone booth. What toppings we want? So we got phone calls, phone hangups, shootings,
anything phone related, essentially.
Anything phone related. Yep. There's like a return. Like what do you call it? Star 69 situation. Agents, actresses,
laser cheating, pointers,
pimps, laser pointers, sleaziness and life lessons learned the hard way.
Yeah, that's good. What's the movie where, oh no, it's off fucking Breaking Bad. How it's just two guys with laser pointers and he's like, I've hired two snipers.
Yeah.
If you don't pee, they're going to kill you. Like that.
But you don't know when, you don't know where.
It's such a good threat. Like that.
Yeah, he's yeah. Anyway, all right, what's our movie, Smitty?
Just give me a second. I'll be trying to imitate Kiefer Sutherland. So let me just listen to him for a second.
No, you're trying to get into character?
I need to smoke for a while. Mm. It's Kiefer Sutherland, yes. Lovely. Okay. Hi. I'm the caller, or you can call me the sniper. That sounds cooler anyway. But in all honesty, I am what you call a truth angel. It's kind of like guardian angel, but I'll guide and steer you to make you more of an honest person. All I need to do is sacrifice.
You were just jealous of me the whole time, weren't you, bitch?
And all I have to do
is sacrifice. That's what I thought, you fucko. Get off the fucking phone, piece of shit.
Get it. You're pushing me now. I'm trying to help you. But
yeah.
Can please finish my speech.
Your soliloquy.
Yes, but in all honesty. I will make your life better. And all I need to do is sacrifice a working class pimp and a pizza boy. And the results speak for themselves. Tomorrow will be the most beautiful day of Stu Shepherd's life. His breakfast will taste better than any meal you and I have ever tasted.
What is that off?
It's off another movie. Yes, it is off a movie.
Shit.
You don't know?
Is that Kevin Spacey says that?
No, but Kevin Spacey has worked with this director in a TV show. That helps.
It's not Fincher.
Fincher, yes. It's a Fincher movie.
Well, they worked together in Seven, mate.
Oh, in Seven, of course, Seven. Yes.
Yeah,
I've seen it in a while. I think I've seen Seven since the whole Kevin Spacey.
Tyler Durden says that.
Yes.
Is that when they, like,
the Yarb.
Yeah.
Which is student. Funny because that's like that's the whole killer's motivation is to make his life better. That's like, I'm going to make, Stu? Or it's like Jigsaw too.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's closer to Jigsaw than he is Tyler Durden. Stu definitely had a chance of dying in this situation. If he just didn't, because he had redemption. He had his arc complete. So I don't think he was in harm's way.
So this is a very short movie. I have 20, it's legit. I'm going to quote Kiefer Sutherland. You'll put the clip in now. It's like, you have half an hour. They have half an hour until they find me, essentially, is what he says.
To half an hour to complete the plot.
Yes. And finish the movie. Our movie starts with
a good song.
Stupid song. It was like,
I love the song.
Upper Reed.
I like it. It's cool.
The font of the credits is crazy 2000 font. Yeah. It's like Spider-Man. Really.
Yeah.
Well, actually, is 20th Century Fox, is that Spider-Man?
Yes.
No, it's Sony Pictures, right? But anyway, they really take the font, the really cool spidery, I don't know what, there's got to be a name for this font, but they stole it. We start like in space.
Same year, bro.
He does like a Fincher-esque, you know, zoom into fucking satellites, go through the technology.
So I feel like.
You zoom into Earth.
I feel like Joel Schumacher is trying shit.
Well, and it's taking the fad of the moment. And like.
You think so?
Yes. But even though the Fast and Furious did it too with the NOS, like going to the engine.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's the Matrix. Like bleed off too, because like the sound effects and the color palette, especially in the opening credits, is very.
This is definitely a time capsule, especially with, you know, the whole phone booth that doesn't exist anymore. Soon,
yeah, well, actually,
my daughter won't even know what that is. Like,
true.
I don't think our nephews and nieces know what a phone booth is. Yeah. Actually, they do know that you can call Santa on, which I think is such a cool thing to do.
Well, I feel like Tony, like it's ahead of its time, man, because they're saying like they're phasing out. Phone booths. That's what they're saying. Like, this is the last one. They're going to replace it with, like, a stand.
Yeah. Do you know who the narrator is? And why do have a narrator?
Why does Kiefer Sutherland? This seems like
Kiefer
studio
Kiefer Sutherland
notes
should be narrating it, if anything.
Yeah. But I feel like studio notes. But who's narrating?
A great voice actor. He's from American Dad. That's a principal. He's such a good... He's so funny in that. Really good comedic timing. But he's also... You would know him from Invincible.
Oh, really? Yeah, nice.
Yeah, the two blue clone dudes.
Oh, what? Is that him? Oh, hell yeah, that's good. Yeah, he's a good voice.
He's got a great voice. Fucking great voice.
Fuck yeah.
I think he's got like 600 voice acting credits. So.
Yeah. All right, nice.
But yeah, we just see New York, everyone's on their phones. Like, it's even worse nowadays, everyone on their fucking phones. But I'm pretty sure that there were 2 million people fucking use a cell phone. Mm. But these phone booths still be used by...
Dude,
41,000 people a day or some bullshit.
This guy's voice does give me like Twilight Zone vibe. You know how like you have like a precursor? They talk about like
a
setup, what's going on, sort of. Yeah. That's what it feels like.
I think isn't narration like meant to be a movie sin? Like it's meant to. It's like a lazy
people.
Way.
Some people hate it. I'm a fan.
Yeah, you like payback.
You argue
the theatrical cut. That's right.
Yeah. No, I think narration has
a They talk about the phone booth. This location has been burglarized 41 times in the last 6 months. It's going to be, it's due for it being knocked down then tomorrow. And then it's like the last occupant. Let's meet the last.
See, that's the part I'm talking about with Twilight Zone, how he says that.
Yeah.
Like, now we're going to meet our next occupant, our last occupant. Oh, it's very, because I watched a couple of episodes the other day, Tales of the Crypt. Very much like that too. They have very similar starts. So this movie, could definitely have been, definitely could be like short. Yeah, actually, that'd be great. Put this movie in an anthology movie, you'd probably be in middle, right? You wouldn't start off close with it. The middle ones,
it's not good enough to
always
be a
very
starter.
Interesting. What's more important in anthology? Is it the start or the end?
The middle, I think you put the weakest one in the middle and the strongest.
Is it always
one
three or can be four?
The strongest has to be the ending. The strongest has to be the ending. Because the first one's okay. You're like, all right, I've got two more coming to me. I'll stay for see what the next one is. The final one has to be the strongest so the word of mouth can continue on. Because what was the last anthology movie you've seen? Was it Bird's Eye? Actually, what was the best
eye.
One? That one.
Cat's Eye. It was my last one, but it sticks to me because I'm thinking about this is what it was, right? So the three segments. First segment was like a guy trying to quit smoking, and it had like they're trying to like
starring James Woods.
Yeah, starring James Woods. Funny to bring that up. Second part was a guy from Aeroplane, you know, the pilot, the like good looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He like cheated on. He's like trying to. He's sleeping with the mobster's wife. And the mobster makes him walk around the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think funny enough, that bad guy, I just clicked in my head. I think he's like the plays a bad guy in Dune.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the final act is a little troll.
Yes. Final act's like the fantastical.
A child's breath, which
and
actually is
it's
really
probably,
cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's probably the most high, the higher budget one too. So it's like you put your money into the last segment. And maybe the first is like thought-provoking. And the second's just like almost throwaway, I think.
Yeah.
But they're all fun. You have to get like free bangers. They should bring that back. Like, where's Tarantino and fucking Rodriguez? They couldn't bring back Grindhouse, but they can bring back anthology movies.
Yeah. Love so we meet the final occupant of the phone booth, and the cinematic decision he has is the, you know how Star Wars is the side swipe?
Yes.
Has a transition. Little, this is like a keyhole, like a little circle opens up. So it's very interesting. He does it like that.
Yeah.
We see Colin Farrell, who plays Stuart Shepherd, who's like a fucking publicist. You see him, he's doing his, it's day in his life, essentially. And fucking, I think he's very good at his job.
Connor, he's a con, got con energy, con artist energy.
And this is showing off his delivery of dialogue. He's saying a lot of shit. But doing super cuts. They're taking his time. Apparently there's like four cameras. Oh, no, that was at the phone booth, sorry. There's four cameras at a time filming him at the phone booth.
Yeah, that's good. I reckon the edit, so much to edit.
Yeah, so it's all easy for the editor to make it, you know, cut it all together.
Like you need that, though, to feel like you've got 10 days, you got all the coverage you need now. Plus, like, you had to try to keep things as dynamic as possible in one, like, spot.
Was it that big thing is they filmed in sequence?
Yeah, that's good. They should. Yeah.
So they don't have to worry about continuity.
Yeah, that's smart, actually.
Yeah. So essentially, you see him being good at his job, but he's bad to people. That's like his.
I don't know, man. I didn't get that vibe either. I thought it was pretty cool.
No, because when he talked up his assistant for dropping his fucking notepad or something, it's like, you're a little dog or something.
Yeah, but then then towards the end of it, he's like, he says, you'll go a long way in this business or whatever.
Yeah, but he's
but then you see his true intentions when he starts spilling his guts later. But yeah, throughout this, bro, his accent, you can hear his Irishness poking through.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, it sucks. It's alien. It's just say it sucks. It takes away from the movie. You need someone, just make him Irish or something.
Yeah, like, you know, that happened in Lost. You know, the guy from Mission Impossible.
Yes, the guy you thought who could replace Tom Cruise.
Yes, the guy at the start. He's in Lost, but apparently he did go to his audition and then he realized his character is from like a certain part of the country. So he tried to like nail the accent.
It's from Wisconsin.
And then first day of shooting, he's like, the guy's like, what are you doing? Like, he's like, oh, I'm trying to get this accent. He's from here. He's like, no. Where are you from? He's like, Georgia. I was like, all right, the character's from Georgia. I was like, oh, sweet. And they've really freed him up for the performance.
Oh, sweet. Even though it's like kind of insulting.
No, he's like, he was happy because he's like, it's like, you could feel like he was taken away from what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. Especially, you're not, some actors, bro, like, especially like Hugh Jackman or like more people with strong accents.
Yeah.
Like, how they can
I thought the Aussies are always good.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you heard me imitate Kiefer Sutherland, like, look at the talent.
Yeah, I'll put in a quote. I think it's from Russell Crowe. He just explains how, or maybe someone else, but I love how he explains how he, like, gets his speech right. He starts talking your tongue's lower or some crazy shit. It's pretty interesting how he describes it. He just gets straight into the accent. It's fucking sick.
How hard is it for you to remove your Scottish accent?
No, I've done it. By the way, this is, I feel like I barely talk Scottish anymore. I listen to myself and I'm going, what am I? I sound, you know, like I'm a hybrid because I've done as American in so many movies.
How do you learn to speak, you know, with a American, so to speak?
Most people in movies speak in a general American accent.
Right.
And I don't try and focus on one person because then you're going to start getting caught up in their habits. But as much as watching TV and movies, what you do is you work with a dialect coach and literally you sit and you run sounds. So you'll be like, it's, you know, for your eye, because in Scotland we say bright light.
Yeah.
We go eye. In America they go bright light. So you go, it's a bright light on a fine night on a, but the thing is, there's the same rule for every accent. So I is a certain sound in America and ooh for moon. In Scotland, we go moon, you know, or we go good. And in Americans go good.
So if I say to you, say the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain without your accent.
Okay, hold on.
Hold on, because you normally you got to get your mind.
This is the hardest thing, I think.
Okay, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane.
Wow.
Normally you do warm-ups because you got to, for American, you got to relax the lips, relax the tongue, and you got to just start talking like
that. Because if somebody hired me to play a Scottish guy, to stay in that accent,
that's what I was going to ask on the set. Do you stay American?
I do. But you know, and that was the biggest thing as an actor that I did, because I was very shy to just walk around and improvise. And I realized one day it doesn't work when you're just going in for an audition and putting on an accent, because what starts happening is you start talking like this and you neither get the performance or the accent.
Because that's so forced. You got to make it part of you, so you have to walk around all day.
So I started walking around, I started talking, and I thought, it doesn't even matter if it's bad, because people don't know. They don't think that's a bad American accent. They just think he's lived here for a certain amount of years. Yeah. You get every accent imaginable. And my best buddy was like, dude, you sound like an idiot. And I'm going, he's a director. I'm like, you're supposed to be supporting me. Stop telling me that it doesn't sound American, because it doesn't matter right now. What matters is that I'm learning to laugh, to sigh, to go high,
to make
and low,
it natural.
To make it natural. And it made all the difference.
But is this where you hear Ben Foster's crazy ass accent?
Yes. Well,
what did we cameo or whatever the fuck this is? Well, you become a big time actor. Like, it's so funny. Like,
but it's a funny joke, because like, he's obviously playing a white guy, pretend to be black.
So we go.
Encased between two black men.
Yeah. It's we go, bro.
We could please Michael Rapaport. That's fine. He's
the king of wiggers.
Who do I you do, motherfucker, from Big Q to Big Stu?
Right, Big Q, be reasonable.
Motherfucker, I'm a gangster. I don't gotta be reasonable.
You're cutting out.
I'm gonna kill your crack rats if you keep talking about me like that. Right?
But yeah, I actually think the assistant actually steals the show. In this little opening scene.
What the hell are you, bro?
I like his performance, because he's like a little nerdy, and the way he's looking at Colin Farrell like he was asleep with him.
I'm in love. Like, Bro, Joel Schumacher said you're in love with him. This is how you play it.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to have sex with him. Like, if you... Yeah. That doesn't matter. So, yeah, you just see Colin Farrell playing the game, doing the deals, making a deal with a cop for Britney Spears tickets for info on a music producer. Doesn't really matter. He's good at his job, but he's bad to people. That's my summary.
Isn't he? I like the guy from The Wire, Tony? The cop from The Wire?
Yeah. He's good.
Yeah, he plays a cop in everything. I think a lot of cops in this just play cops in everything. So,
yeah.
Carson's pretty good. And they say Stuart. It's Stu.
Yeah. So, potentially, good at his job, bad with people. I think it's like 7 times. He ends up finally, he tells his assistant, get by yourself a suit, deliver this. And he finds a phone booth. Yeah.
No, but you should mention there's a restaurant owner who's like, fuck you fucked me over. And he just sweet talks him. And he's like,
yes, he pretty much, every little dilemma he had, he kind of fixed up in a little bow. Because the rapper wanted a venue for his place. He found a venue. Everything's a nice little bow.
Yeah, so pretty much you're trying to say, like, okay, this guy can talk his way to anything until he's in the phone booth. And he tries to set similar things. Like, he tries to, like, sweet talk them this way and tries to get into what they want and just try to feed that thing. Like, even when he finds out he just wants to, like, him doing me this piece of shit, he's like, I'm a piece of shit, okay? Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like, the Kiefer Sutherland really sees through his lies.
But how long was he following him for, you think? And so
he's just a fucking, I don't know, man. It's a stupid, but Kiefer Sutherland, don't think about it too much.
He said that he's walking the street and he hears some self-obsessed person on the phone, and he's like,
oh, yeah, no, he was just he had the phone bugged, bro, for real.
No, I feel like he's walked past, like, no, that's the guy, that's my next target.
No, he would just been listening to people on that payphone, and this is like apparently the fourth time.
The other two people were on a cell phone.
I don't fucking know how. I
believe that. Okay, he's the same payphone. He watches the same payphone. Okay.
Watching people on the payphone. He sees this guy fucking with his wedding ring, taking it off. He's like, I listen to this conversation. This is sus. Then he starts following him, follows him after that, and he gets like a bit more information. And this guy's a cheater. And he probably sees like, and then he just follows him down the street and stuff. And probably works out.
And does his due diligence, his homework.
No, don't think about it too much, though, because this would never happen in real life. Some guy would not do this.
Save my life.
Well, like, it's just stupid.
I needed this guy deep in my gambling addiction. That's why I needed him.
Actually, 100%. I wrote that down, but I didn't say that. But as I say, let me be the voice over the phone. and you can just be you, like, or act out a scene. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Ring, ring, ring. Ring, ring, ring.
Hey, Tab. Ring, ring. I'm going to fucking put a point job bit on. My code is...
This is not Tab. No.
Wait,
what are you doing?
Bit?
You have a young you have a young girl.
Huh?
Do you want to go to college?
Who is this? You fucking following this, me?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, mate,
listen to me.
I'm going to hang up now.
Listen to me. Take the over in the next game.
Mate.
Do it. Do it.
But the Spurs, they have Wembanyama. He's a great defender. There's no way the Knicks are going to lose this.
You fucked me. I put everything on this. You fucked me.
I know, yeah. All right, that's all you're going to do. But yeah, anyway.
I went to a small bet. You get bigger, bigger.
Yes, if you want to listen to more gambling talk, listen to Tip
the Money.
But okay, so Colin Farrell finally gets in the phone booth. He takes off his wedding ring. He's about to make a phone call. Knock, knock, knock. Pizza, pepperoni. And the way he handles this guy, just take the pizza, man. Who gives a fuck? Yeah. Maybe he's not hungry, but I'll just take the pizza.
Well, we reckon this is a test. Failed his first test.
Well, the pizza guy is the sniper, isn't he?
No, I thought for a second, I thought there was like a message on the pizza box, like say, call this number or don't hang up when he opens the pizza lid. I thought something like that was going to happen, but nah. Nothing happened like that.
There's a bomb in this payphone. Yeah.
Now, I feel it was pretty good though. Like, the movie does feel fresh. Like, I feel like it feels, like, I feel like this would be a great time. No, I didn't feel bored at all. Like, I feel like this movie could have been really
good pacing. An hour and 20 minutes. It's not even a 90-minute movie. That's insane.
And I do love the shot of him just walking down the street. And you see, like, Times Square and shit in the background, all this cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. But pretty much, he tells the pizza guy to fuck off, essentially. And the pizza guy's like, that's not called for. And then he goes, it goes away. He ends up calling his, what did you call this? His client. And just to pretty much, oh, yeah, I talked you up. Tom Cruise, he wants a new lead in the lady. I gave him Cameron Diaz, Julia Roberts, and I mentioned your name. And then... Obviously, he's sweet talking. He's talking absolutely.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's sweet talking. He's just trying to put himself in a position of power. Like, look what I'm doing for you. You have to do something for me.
Yeah, which is
insane. I do that to women all the time.
That's why it'd be better if you're that more an attractive guy doing this, or a sleazier dude doing this. Because
Well, that's what the chin bid's for, mate. The chin bid's so he can get away with it. You know what, man? Okay. I talked about this. I can't remember what I talked about it in, but Brad Pitt. He embraced his good looks in like maybe a handful of movies. Meet Joe Black is probably one of his peak, like just pretty boy looks. Now, I'm wondering if Colin Farrell went that route in this movie. Just went full on that same sort of hair, but like maybe clean face and make heaps of makeup or whatever the fuck they do, make him look that good. Like good filters, make him glow. Just make him look as sexy as possible. I wonder if that would make the movie more money and more successful.
No. You need to do anything. This movie needs to be more grittier and slimier. Yeah.
You think so? Like, so give him
a longer
beard.
No, but you know, like a goat beard. No, it's meant to be a thriller, mate. You know, try to put us on the edge of our seat.
But I don't know. I feel like... I know.
Don't soften it. Like making this guy a pretty boy.
Nah, make him more pretty, I think. I mean, that's,
but yeah, result. Pretty much...
And make him an actor, Tony. Make him an actor. Don't make this agent shit. Make him a vain actor. And that's how you fix the movie. And
I like that he's like a publicist. It's cool.
But he can still be Colin Farrell, mate. He's from Ireland. I'm just here trying to get these movie roles. And I'm fucking every chick in the fucking scene. But he's married or something at home. Who fucking knows? He can easily change it.
Nah. No.
Anyway.
I like the fact that he's like essentially he's a loser publicist too. Like he's not a high status in the.
I know I got high status from it. I thought it was pretty successful until later on in the movie. Yeah. He's like, I'm full of shit.
I'm a loser. Otherwise, cheap suit. Anyway, she Katie Holmes turns him down because she's sort of playing him.
I just feel like she doesn't want to play the game where I sleep with you and you get me parts. Like she doesn't want to do that thing.
Well, you got to earn it more.
No, like I feel like she's a bit, I don't know, but my, like her facial expression, what I got from her was like, I like this guy.
He's cute.
But I thought she always keep it professional. Like, she's a bit, I don't know, she's probably delusional because she can't read between the lines. But you're very interesting, Katie Holmes. What, she's fresh off or still doing fucking her TV show?
Yeah. So yeah, she gets turned down. He hangs up the phone. Goes to put his wedding ring, goes to put his wedding ring back on, and the phone's bling, ring, bling, ring. He doesn't think about it. He just answers it. And then
no. He only answers it because he thinks the girl's returned his call. He's like, oh, she changed her mind. That's what I got from. I feel like the way they directed it was like,
I thought it was the quote of the movie, like, isn't it funny that you hear a phone ringing and it could be anybody, but you answer anyway.
Now, Tony, a quick question for you. Yeah, no, he uses it again at the end of the movie. Quick question for you.
I hate it. Such a bad quote.
Do you think his voice is too crystal clear? Like, it's obvious VO.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my complaints. Is that there should be, like, you can hear him on the phone. Like, he's got to sound like he's on the phone.
Yeah. It's just too, I think that would serve the movie better too.
It's too clean. That's right.
Yeah. You can, they have the technology, man. They do it all the time. Yeah. Make it sound like
you're talking from a phone. And the same thing with the scope. I hate the scope. It's like the redness of it all.
I don't mind the scope as that much. You need POV of that. You do need that.
I know, like, but it doesn't have to be red and fucking future looking.
Yeah, but you have to go. They're trying to break things up, man. They're trying to break things up. They're trying to keep things as diverse visually as possible.
Well, is it red means danger?
Now, are you glad you don't see like an over the shoulder shot of like the room or whatever? You like how it's just only the scope and his voice essentially?
Yeah, no, that's good. No, that's good.
Okay.
The less you see, the better. You have to use your imagination.
Is that imagination land?
Imagination. But essentially, he pretty much tells him the rules. Like, I'm going to kill you if you get out of this fucking booth, blah, blah.
Like Stacey Keach in the fucking box in Sudden Death, the rules.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can barely remember that movie, bro.
A lot of rules in these last two episodes of the podcast.
Yeah. So his first thing is like, he pretty much tells him about the information about, you're married, but you're talking to Pam. And then he calls her up and people are saying he was only doing it to have sex with you. So he's like, that's bullshit. Like, he can't hear you.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's like our first little tense scene. And as this is happening, a hooker bangs on the phone booth, which is she is so close to getting my Oscar. She's killing it.
Yeah.
Her attitude, her look as well. Actually, the costume designer needs the props.
Yeah.
Because everyone's on point. Because Colin Farrell's suit is perfectly douchey.
He is fucking douche. The red. It's perfect. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, that's very. Give it top marks. I don't know if this was a New York movie, but I'm getting Spike Lee vibes all through this. It's crazy. Because maybe Inside. You know the Inside Job or Inside Man?
Inside Man, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's very similar. Because as far as Woodtaker.
It's got the same look to it. Maybe it's the same DOP, potentially.
Possibly. I'll look at that while you're talking about the movie. But yeah, fucking, this girl's very good actress. Her name is Paula J. Parker. Mm. She's in a lot of stuff, but she kind of is typecast. I'm looking at her photos.
Hooker 1. Hooker 3.
No. This is her four movies. Hustle and Flow, Friday, Phone Booth, and Higher Crumbs. That's what she's known for. The character names is Alexis, Joy, so J-O-I.
Stripper name.
Yep. Felicia from Phone Booth and Gracie. She just plays, I don't know if she plays prostitutes and everything, but she's fine. She's got nice cleavage. And she plays low status well. So it's kind of fucked up thing to say.
So she tells me off the phone, I got to hit this chick before the next bitch takes my score. So essentially she's saying that I got to, make some money. And then he's like, go away.
go away.
And then he's like, your eyeballs are like, this eyeball me, bitch. But she also drops the N-word, which wasn't in the script, Shane. She ad-libbed.
Really? Well, it's like and just to get, that's but just to get,
no, but just to get the reaction, I feel like. It's like, well, if you see Farrell's face, like, what the fuck? You just said that.
Yeah. I think it's a territorial thing. And while this is happening, Kiefer Sutherland's on the phone, like, laughing his ass off about this situation.
Get
rid of him.
He's cringe. So she goes away, the hooker, and Colin Farrell's trying to justify his actions because he said, I didn't really sleep with her. I like the idea of the possibility. And he's like, my wife's my home.
And my wife's
this coochie. Like a motel room or some bullshit.
Yeah, my wife's coochie's getting old.
Yes. But Keith himself's not having it at all. He's like, nah, you're a piece of shit. You got to admit it.
Yeah. Bro, this is like a fucking cheater's worst nightmare, bro. Especially this guy, because he's like, he hasn't even done it. But
he's planning on doing it.
Like, fuck, some guy like torturing him about it. Like, no, and man, like, the good thing about it is, at least he feels guilty. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably a good thing he didn't do it.
No, but he was going to do it. If the girl was into it, he was going to do it for sure, which is like not something you want to do.
Oh, no, he was trying. Like, it wasn't even that. He was trying to
convince her. Yes, that's what I'm saying. He's cheating. Yes, he is cheating. 100%.
Yeah.
No technicalities here, folks. Just because I don't gamble on my phone, I get my mate to gamble for me. I'm still gambling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just screenshotting and not actually putting the bets on. That's all I'm dealing with at the moment.
So he gets him to call his wife to admit that what he's doing, and he just does living around to Rosie, saying like he's always dodging and deflecting. He's not owned up to anything yet.
Yeah, that's his style, man. That's his style.
Yes. The hooker has backup now. Another
girl.
Show. Yeah, another girl.
We need to do this quick, bro.
Yes. But essentially, he pisses her off, the two hookers off, and then the first confirmation that he has a sniper. He's like, what are you going to do, kill me? He's like, I've got a gun on you, essentially. The way he describes it is pretty cool.
No,
it's
he
like,
shoots the bottom of the phone booth, right?
Yeah, no, he shoots a little robot thing.
Oh, okay. What's that say? It's like, people will go into a panic if you shoot me out here. It's like, tonk, see, no one cares.
Like, oh my God, everyone's freaking out.
Yeah. See, the problem with Kiefer Sutherland's performance too, you can tell, like,
he's in a studio,
recorded,
mate.
Like, months later and, like, watching the film and, like, reading the script.
Yeah.
You kind of want, like, okay, who's the director,
but
Tony?
Do you know that he was recasted, Shane, the character of the caller?
Really? Who was it originally?
You wouldn't know his name, but it's the guy from The Last Supper. He's one of the
black guy? Actors.
No, not that. Not Courtney B. Vance. He's
heaps good.
No, it's the white, he looked pretty boy white guy.
He's like brunette hair?
Brunette hair, yeah.
The long brunette hair? I think I know.
Not
like
long. But he's a pretty boy.
I feel like you made me watch that shit.
That's a good movie, man.
Nah.
The story of that movie is like Ron Perlman saying, it's so good, it's like, if you could kill Hitler, would you do it? That's like the big moment of the movie. And Ron Perlman, because to them, Ron Perlman is Hitler.
Yeah.
But Ron Perlman's like, no, I wouldn't kill him. I would reason with him. Have a conversation. Try to change him. It seems like just killing something like,
it's
easy quote from Hamilton.
It's an easy way.
Yeah. Was it dying is easy, living is harder? That's Hamilton.
That's not, no, that's not just Hamilton, bro.
Lin Miranda Manuel.
That's not just Hamilton, Tony. I thought I saw that in a movie the other day.
No, it's probably dad, father sending us memes.
Oh, yeah. That's like something to describe a hero. Like some guy sacrificed himself. And you're saying like, oh no, it's a stupid Flash TV show. Don't worry about it. Fuck it, have you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tony,
for some reason, bro, my algorithms give me like the Flash, like in little fucking, like CW TV show in like little clips all the fucking time.
So the caller, Kiefer Sutherland, he says like, do you remember those two deaths the other day? Like pretty much saying his handiwork, saying like they had the,
could be
their wallets. No, but they still had their wallets and money on them, whatever.
Yeah.
You know why? He's like, because of executions. It's like, exactly. So he's pretty scared right now.
Yeah.
Then Colin Farrell, there's a knock on the door and it's the second best actor in this whole movie, the pimp. Yeah, great character. Funny. This guy has a great performance.
Yeah, he's
rocking the chin beard way better than Colin Farrell.
Yeah, he suits his look a lot better. He owns it. He owns that shit.
That's a pimp hairstyle, I guess. The pimp facial hair.
Oh, pimp everything. Everything about him just screams pimp. The way he acts.
And he's like,
it's hilarious. I'll put some of his lines in.
I got my own problems.
I'm your fucking problem. You know why I'm your fucking problem? My girls keep running across the street yapping at me. Leon, he won't share the phone. Leon, he's tying up the phone. Leon, he's telling us to fuck off. Leon, we're going to make you nuts unless you get over there. Make him get off the fucking phone. All right, I'm trying to run a fucking business here, pal.
Look, I absolutely sympathize, but I can't get off the call.
No, you don't understand me, all right?
I got the G-string union over here. They're breaking my fucking balls. I gotta live with their shit, but I ain't gotta put up with yours. So I'm saying this once nice. Alright? Hang up the phone. Walk away.
He did say it nicely.
Great performance. You put with the quotes in, but it's like, Leon, he won't share the phone. Like, he's just yapping at me, man. And they call him the G-string unit. Like I've got to do something here. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been nice, though. No, he's a shit pimp. He's a bad pimp. His bitches have way too much power over him.
Well, they're yapping at him, mate.
It doesn't matter, mate. No. Would Wayne Brady put up with that shit? You know, Chappelle Show?
Just up a bitch.
Yeah, they're scared of him, bro. It's like... Like,
no, but it's his turf. It's his territory, Shane. He's got to do it. And he can't look weak in front of the hoes.
Yeah. Well, that's his fault. He's fucking, you don't look weak. You can't be getting your fucking girl, your hoes out there fucking telling you what to do. Well, just with Wayne Brady, though, where one of the hookers give him one bit.
I think in this situation, the hoes in such a state.
Yeah.
They can't be making him money. That's the end game for him.
Yeah, the money.
He's got to make money. Yeah. They've got to be in a good, they've got to be good.
He's pretty much trying to keep his hoes happy for like future reference. So if he lets them be pissed off, maybe they quit a week later or go to a different pimp a week later. Because Maurice,
no, you don't retire from public.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. I'm transfer guessing this guy's, either. Guessing this guy's character's name is Maurice Tony. Like if Lifetime's
it's Leon. It's Leon.
Oh, Leon's very pimp name-ish anyway.
Yeah. But
yeah, what's he say? Like, he's $140. I want to rent the phone. I want to rent the phone.
He's like, for how long? He's like, you're definitely no. $500 definitely. Yeah. And obviously, he doesn't have the cash on him.
And the hoes are like, the hoes are going like, I should say their name: Felicia, Corky, and Asia. They're all going like, he's trying to punk you. I'm trying to fucking make you a bitch.
I know. He's like, they're so it's the what's her name? Parker. She's the one rocking this whole scene. Like, how come he's defying you, huh?
Yeah, that's her last
name. Like, you got bitch in you now?
Yeah. That's great. Pretty much they're gaslighting him to do something.
Yes, they're taking him off.
Which I'm saying, it's a bad pimp. It's a bad pimp shit.
Yes. So he essentially goes like, you know what? I was going to kill you, but I changed my fucking mind. And he goes across the road where he's
house. I was going to beat you to death. With a bat, yeah. Wendy. I was going to bash your fucking brains in.
Well, one great scene before he goes, he punches the glass,
yes,
which I hope was real because that'll be baller. But I'm sure it'll be fake breakaway glass.
Bro, you brought up Jeremy Piven before, so remind me of that story because maybe Leon did go out of script and like punched it. So Jeremy Piven tells this great story when he did Heat with Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro has been like shot, and he goes to like a vet or whatever. And it's Jeremy Piven, and they're like fucking doing surgery and shit. Anyway, fucking, apparently it's been a long day of shooting, and like, you know, Robert De Niro is like a fucking god. And like, Jeremy Piven, they like treat him that way. So everyone just, Jeremy Piven's like fucking doing his lines and shit. Anyway, he started improvising.
What made it into the De Niro scene was my daughter gave me that shirt. Everything I said, you know, I just kept improvising.
That was not scripted.
No. Because you got your backstory, and so if they don't yell cut, you just keep talking. You know, that's how, you know, they don't say there are no small roles. Like, there aren't. It's your job. It may be awkward for them. De Niro may be angry in the moment. Why is this kid still talking? But you know what I mean? You never know what's going to happen.
And what did he say to you when the scene was over?
I we're live, so I can't say some of the things that, if you look at that scene, he's just dropping F-bombs on me.
Yeah, right.
And so that's how he went. That's how he plays. And he's the GOAT. And, you know, you can do one of two things. You can either freeze up or you can just let it go. Nerves are an energy, and then you just start playing.
And that's the same, man. Maybe Leon had that moment of going like, hit the fucking
screen. Fuck this paper. Fuck this paper.
Yeah.
Fuck this glass.
That'd be so fun to be on a set, just playing. That's what kind of director you need. Just someone who can let your actors, well, kind of go wild, but just explore. She'd love that. It'd be sick.
So, yeah, Leon's at the bat, the caller, Kiefer Sutherland's like, I can stop this, just say the word. And you can see the laser pointer, he's like, oh, fuck. Like, he doesn't want to sign this guy's death warrant, which is actually kind of nice of him. But does he do it on purpose when he's like, yeah, stop him? Like he says yes. Like, can our hero get away with pretty much signing this guy's death warrant?
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. And I think he does it. He says yes as self-defense. You can probably, audience, you can probably say that. But this is the kind of violence that's like the worst, like affects me the most, is when you're like, they act confused about what happened. Like, oh, what? Like,
good that's example. Forrest Gump. Something just come up and bit me.
Yeah. No, I was more thinking, Talented Mr. Ripley when he hits him with the oar in the head.
Oh, yeah.
So first he's like, what the fuck? And then starts like gushing.
Yeah.
And then he does it. And then doesn't he try to defend himself, and he just, then he gets beat even more.
Yeah, he goes like, yeah. It's crazy.
It's crazy. But yeah, with this, he like feels the back of his neck, like, and he starts stumbling backwards and he just dies. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And I think it's like realistic way, maybe, how it would happen. Because what would you feel like? You were like, oh, what the fuck was that? It's tough.
And the hoes are crying for him. They're probably like happy, right?
No. They're fucking the Stockholm. Out of their life. Stockholm syndrome. That's what a good pimp does. Makes him rely on them.
But yeah, they're like, call 411. I think they call 911, but it's a good joke.
Yeah. Actually, funny with the hoes, Tony. I'm looking at the character names is Asia and Corky, which I mentioned. The actresses' names is Arian Ash and Tia Texter. So what the fuck? Are they like real life prostitutes or what with these names?
I don't think so.
Look at alliteration, man. I feel like that's sort of like a telltale.
That'd be cool.
Anyway, I'm going to look at that later. Just make sure. I'll do some research.
Yeah, you got to do some research. Fap. Actually, you know what goon means, right?
Fap, you just said.
Yeah, but you know what goon means?
That's great. Yes, goon. I think it's been professional masturbator, right?
Yeah, well, if I didn't do it. I thought it meant max looking.
No. Goon.
That's what I thought. I've realized that because the young apprentice said, like, no, this is what goon means, fucking jacking it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, yeah, it does. But yeah, if you're a gooner, that's what you do for a job, essentially.
I thought it was like, because, you know, goons try to look tough. That's what I thought goon.
Yeah, but obviously like, the new generation opted the word. Now it means something else entirely.
Yeah.
It's been happening forever. It's just brain robber. We talked about this.
Yes. So the hooker's gone crazy. He shot him. He's like, where's the gun? Like, it's in your hand. Like, they're pretty much saying, like, you had a gun.
Where's the foot?
Yeah. Like, he got a Glock.
Yeah. It's good.
Gun down, daddy.
It's great.
So the cops, well, obviously the cops are going to come now. He tries to do a smart tactic by calling the police himself.
Yeah.
To say like, hey, I'm actually a hostage in the situation, but it doesn't work.
And you think he's pulling one over Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes.
And Kiefer Sutherland goes, nah. He's like, you bugged the phone.
Yeah. Oh, actually, sorry, I forgot to fucking mention before, but this has the highest cocking the gun to shooting the gun ratio ever, right?
Yeah.
It's like 4-1. Yeah. Cocked the gun so many times.
So fucking funny. Yeah, it's just like... emphasizing like scariest something bad could happen.
Yeah,
maybe I should kill. Maybe I should kill Pamela or Kelly.
Yeah, no.
Nah, it sounds a bit bad. More badass than that, though.
Yeah. But once you listen for it, it's like, what the fuck? This is what I'm getting.
I didn't even notice that.
I noticed.
But like, it's a movie thing. Like, it's definitely in the movie world stuff.
Yeah. So Kiefer Sutherland shoots a bit off his ear. Which looks cool because the blood's dripping down.
It's cool.
Just to know like how good of a shot he is as well.
He's a good character flurry for him.
Now, did this happen to Trump? Was it a setup? Was the sniper just as good as him?
Mate.
Because this movie shows it's possible to be that accurate with a gun just to shoot someone's ear.
Possibly. But yeah, that's a crazy shot, just clipping someone's ear. I don't think it's possible.
But like, do you think Trump pretending to get shot in the ear went down razor blade to his ear and just slid a little bit? Like, was it set up? That's like conspiracy theory. I'm going with.
You reckon it should have been like broken glass I got him, Tony, instead?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But yeah, the cops come. Frost Butter Taker. Well, sorry, the two black cops. One's like a sergeant and one's obviously Frost Butter Taker. Frost Butter Taker is a captain who had, he's lost. A civilian
lost his wife as well,
and his wife, yeah. But like on the job, he lost his the civilian.
A lot of exposition,
and that's why he But
this is just like shit in the script, right?
It's trying to give you the Die Hard moment of this guy's redemption. So. Like Yeah. Like, he's responsible for someone's death, now he's going to save a life.
Do you think it's a good idea opening up for more characters? Or not? Do you think it's important? Like, adding a new character and having his, like, backstory?
I know what they're trying to do,
but do you think it's, like, necessary?
So why would Forrester Whitaker take this role? You need dimensions to your characters.
Actually, I was thinking about that, because Forrester Whitaker, especially, like, now, like, knowing his career and, like, how good he is. Like, Oscar winner, correct?
From The Last Man in Scotland or something.
Or The Butler.
The Last King of Scotland.
One or the other.
The Butler.
Anyway, no, but yeah, I was looking at his career, man. Like, when he was in the 90s, he was, like, the best friend. He wasn't like this. He didn't demand, like, he didn't scream authority. Like, I don't know if you remember him in, like, other movies. Like, he just seems
The Color of Money. He plays, like, the...
Yeah, but he doesn't really seem...
I think it's the eye, man, makes him... It actually works for him too. It's such a cool character trait.
Yeah.
I'm saying, man, is
some movie, maybe it was the Ghost Dog?
Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah.
So
I watched Phenomenon, like the start of it. He plays John Travolta's friend in it. And they must have been good friends like after that because he ended up doing Battlefield Earth with him. But like in that movie... And, like, he did Species, he did, like, that small role in The Color of Money. Heaps of little stuff. He doesn't really play, like, I demand the room, I demand attention. Like, I'm a big deal. Like, gravitas. He doesn't scream that in these movies. Yeah. So somehow he's tapped into that in the 2000s. Maybe Battlefield Earth did it, because I can't remember. Have you seen Panic Room, Tony?
Yeah. He's in that.
Is he good in it?
Wilder.
Like, is he, does he play like
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he gets, Jared Leto kills him.
Oh, wow. Is he not very...
Oh, no, not Jared Leto. No. It's the guy, it's the random white guy in the Billy Clava that kills them both or something. I remember, like, it's a really good turn of the movie.
Bro, Frost Whitaker is in the Body Snatchers by Abel Ferreira. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
Everything's connected, dude. Fucking, I'm watching that movie this weekend.
Yeah. So, essentially... Forrest Whitaker's been really nice to Colin Farrell, and Kiefer Sutherland's making him say, like, you're a loser. You probably jack it to the thoughts of your ex-wife because you couldn't please her sexually.
Say it.
You probably goon. Tell her you goon of your wife, your ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know. Okay, now, I think after this part, the movie runs into an issue where it gets repetitive because there's nowhere else this can go from here. You know what I mean?
Cops are there. It's always time dwindling down because the cops are eventually going to find him. I guess the highlights would be this other random white cop who's definitely an underling to
Forrest Whitaker's.
Yeah, but he's an underling, right?
Yeah, for sure. And like he looks up to him, like, and yeah, especially when you see the reaction shots of him, like, what'd you just say about my captain?
No, but he's like, what are you grandstanding for TV cameras? Get the hell out of here. Let me take you over. Like, this is crazy.
It's so
this
cool. Guy's over I actually here. Liked it.
This one, it feels like two or three takes and the guy couldn't get it. And like, fuck it, it's in the movie.
Mm.
It feels like a time constraint performance, I feel like. They couldn't really nail it.
Mate.
It doesn't seem as natural.
But I tell you, Tony, do you like all the mini screens that are popping up too?
Yeah. The way they break up the...
Yeah, you know, and you see, and that movie does it as well. Like when there's like something happening, like showing what's going on in the background, it like raises some tension. Like there's that, it's very, very similar. Maybe it is Inside Man, I don't know. Also, there's some, what would you call it, political posturing, like it's anti police propaganda in this. When he's just like, because he has a phone in his pocket or something.
So the cops have a trigger figure.
What's it called?
A hair trigger. I don't know what the fuck it's saying.
Trigger happy. Is it trigger happy?
Yeah.
Trigger finger. Is that how it is? Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'm tired as well, because that does sound a bit right to me. I thought it was like a...
It's a hair. Maybe it's a hair. I don't know what this kind
of... Yeah, well, people...
Anyway, the cops will shoot him. Let's face it. If Colin Farrell was black...
Yeah, he'd be dead.
The phone booth would be blown up.
It would be white.
There wouldn't be white
captain trying to get his way there.
Yes.
but it's pretty interesting though, because he's like you'll get shot 41 times reaching for your wallet, like trying to say like there must be the news at the time, like some guy was killed, yeah, because he had no gun on him, had a wallet. Yeah, everyone was very trigger happy. I'm pretty sure it's trigger happy.
Trigger happy is probably the word. Yeah. Forrest Whitaker kind of works out that like he's under distress and he's sort of forced in the situation.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And that's confirmed when Colin Farrell calls his wife sneakily.
Oh, yeah, true.
And he puts him on the phone. Yeah. He's like, wait a minute.
But yes, you could argue, though, this guy's a schizophrenic for sure. Like, is anyone even on the phone? You know, it's like...
Who's he talking to? Yeah. Yeah. Actually, one great thing is, like, I'm talking to my lawyer. Like, I get my lawyer. Like, that's a great...
great way to underlie, like, hidden messages between themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Like, your lawyers, we're gonna find your lawyer soon.
Bro, actually...
And then at the very end of the movie, he's like, I know your lawyer's coming down.
He's close. Sure. Actually, Tony, I know you're speaking for the plot. There's a couple of things I wanted to mention. It's actually pretty funny. Kiefer Sutherland's like talking to him about being a Vietnam vet, and fucking Colin Farrell's like, "This country owes you an apology." All this shit, and then he starts like laughing. He's like, "I was in the Vietnam War. I must have been 50. Do I sound 50?" She's like, "That, like, bro, like you kind of do sound 50.
Yeah, you sound and look 50.
Yeah, exactly right. He probably was like 40s, but I feel like the way Kiefer Sutherland read that, it's like, there's no way I'm 50. No way.
Yeah. His ego got in the performance there.
Yeah, sure. Just bleeded into it. So fucking funny. It's like, wait a second, 2002. And it's quite possible he could have been in the Vietnam War. You can't really blame Colin Farrell for that assumption. I found it was pretty funny, yeah. The way he's fucking with him and shit. Because they run out of ideas, right?
Yeah, but so Colin Farrell was pretty much saying, "Nah, fuck this. You're going to shoot me. Like, the cops aren't going to shoot me." Like, but there's no, you killed Leon. I was like, "No, I didn't. Like, there's no, I don't even have a gun." And he's like, "Look up." And he looks up and he's like, he's placed a gun already in the fucking phone.
Yeah,
I remember it being a kid, he's like, "What?"
Yeah, he's
so smart.
I had the same, I was waiting because I remember the gun. That's how much that reveal mentioned to me. It wasn't a surprise to me. So, yeah, it stuck
and
with me.
And I think as a kid, too, I'm like, yeah, grab the gun and then shoot.
Shoot the windows.
Every window. Yeah, hit the...
You're going to ruin this lovely lady's curtain. You know what, man? I feel like this movie came out after Alexandra. Like, maybe was that 2005 or 2004, whatever it was?
2005, I think.
Yeah. Because I feel like after 2005, his career took a hit. So it was out there. He was an alcoholic. He was arrested and stuff. Like, all this bad shit happened. And, like, his career wasn't doing great. And I think he went down the indie path, like with In Bruges, Lobster, that kind of shit, like revived his career.
Yeah. Well, working with good directors, that's what helps.
Total Recall is a weird blip in his career. Like, that was definitely a dying for the, like, selling out, essentially, doing a David Lynch. Actually, I should never say that. We never refer to selling out for David Lynch because you reckon he redeemed that? Anyway. But, yeah. If this movie came out in the midst of his, like, controversies and stuff. This character, because I think it's really good now, but imagine like the audience reaction to this character, Tony, because he's already got that sleaze appeal.
Yeah, the bad boy image.
Yeah, so the baggage like now it actually helps the movie, but in 2002, they probably didn't have that. They're like, oh, this guy's going to be so big. He's going to play fucking Bullseye soon in Daredevil, which is a crazy performance. Yeah. Anyway.
I never miss. All right, so nothing really else happens. It's him talking on the phone for ages.
Yeah.
And until he has to admit to, well, is this the big thing? Yeah, I think. The monologue. Yes, this is when the movie peaks, is when he has to finally confess his sins.
Oh, before that too, there's a little bit of a controversy between the negotiator. He rocks up. This Chris Sabian wannabe. He's just putting pressure on the captain, like, oh, they're professional, do this shit. I found there was a couple of, like, ironically funny moments between them two. This guy's, like, overacting like shit. Like, he's, like, playing like a toddler, not getting his way, stomping around the crime scene, like, come on, let me do it. You're going to get these people killed.
Yeah, but, nah.
I know, I found it.
And he calls him captain. That's the thing. Yeah,
but this guy.
The dynamic's all over the place.
Yeah, this guy is a negotiator, Tony. That's his job. But the way he acts is definitely like, I don't know if you remember Kevin Spacey, Chris Sabian. Like,
yeah.
You kind of dressed like him. What year was Negotiator? Same year? Year before? Or 2000s? I don't know when it came out, but way better movie than this. I love Negotiator.
Oh, duh.
Me or duh? You're
fucking serious.
I think the Negotiator is as beloved as you think it is, bro.
Mate, it's Samuel Jackson and Kevin Spacey teaming up.
You think the critics liked it? It's hard to beat. No, I haven't seen a movie in a while, but I remember really enjoying it. It's a really good movie. But yeah, we get our climax, which is the monologue, which is awesome. He nails it completely. You buy every emotion he has. The accent, you don't give a fuck anymore. And apparently this is all one take too, first take.
Yeah, I heard that. He was nervous about it apparently too, because he doesn't like working all day, probably because he's hangovers and stuff.
Yeah. Apparently he just smoked so many cigarettes too.
Oh, during
the shoot. Yeah.
That'd be quick.
So stressed he was like, fuck. Because I think a lot of pressure, man. It's a big studio movie. You're the lead.
Yeah.
Like everyone's waiting on you to deliver, essentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, there'd be pressure about there. But Somerka says that he's so proud of him. And they're like, he probably didn't realize how good he was until this movie.
So I think some of the highlights you missed is when Katie Holmes rocks up and his wife's there. That was pretty good. I was like, oh, shit. I had fun with that. And I think when he like really goes up the captain about, are you lonely, you jerk, and you meet, what the fuck he says. That shit was
pretty good. I've seen that before Gooning.
That's right. You're true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So, yeah. That's the end of the movie, right?
No, but after his big speech, he's crying. I'm a piece of shit. I fantasize about cheating on my wife.
Yeah.
I never actually did it, so it's okay. Well, it doesn't really say that. But essentially after his big speech is over, Forrest Whitaker is like, we found your lawyer. He's coming down now. And then fucking Colin Farrell, for some reason, instead of trying to like, you know, keep him in spot or like keep him calm, he pretty much, the jig's up. Like, they're coming for you, you dumbass. Like, the room's getting smaller, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like he's like, buying himself some time as well.
No, he's not.
He is, mate.
No. As if, all right, fuck, this is my last moment to live. Fuck it, I'm going to kill this guy before I die. Like, you just, why would you?
No, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, he's just getting nervous. I don't know, people make mistakes when they're nervous. And it's pretty cool. Yeah, that's actually a good scene. I do love, there's a really good one-liner from like before when Katie Holmes is there. He's like, let's give her a new headshot. Like she was an aspiring actress. I like that part too. But yeah, no, I think it was a good tactic from him to push it.
To instigate him.
Yeah, to instigate. I think that was pretty
good. Push him.
Yeah. But like, I think Kiefer Sutherland's work's done by then, correct, Tony? Like he's turned a new leaf.
Well, what happens is like, well, I'm going to take somebody out with me. Your wife, since you love her so much. And then this one, Colin Farrell, goes out of the booth.
Kill me.
Kill me.
Kill me.
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? We're waiting for.
We're waiting for. Fuck you. Oh, yeah. No, that's quite.
Yeah, I knew what you were doing.
But yeah, he gets shot. And like, as an audience member, like, oh, Colin Farrell's got shot. I even know this. Maybe the first watch, and it was a rubber bullet, not an actual bullet. The cops go up to the where they trace the core, a fucking dead body's lying there. The sniper rifle's aiming. Looks like, well, this obviously was the room he was in, right?
He was in that room. Yeah, he was in there because the pizza guy.
But
there.
Where? How did he escape then?
He was already gone. He was on the phone talking to him.
You think he was long gone?
He was long gone. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he knew. Okay. True. As soon as
the last bullet was fired.
As soon as last guy, he's gone. He's like a puppeteer, essentially. He's probably watching from another room anyway. Everything else is a bluff. Everything he tries to do after that. His plan works perfectly, hilariously enough.
Yeah. So I think we're going to
So the rubber bullet thing. Mm. I thought of a way to make it be memorable. When she's like on top of him, like, oh my God, I love you. Then she gets like a headshot and she dies. How crazy would that be?
Pretty sick.
Just like,
that'd be sick.
He's like a blob in his face, like, what the fuck? And he's like, you never deserved her.
The phone rings, then he has to answer it, then you're like, you never deserved it. Yeah. But yeah, he's alive. His wife loves him even more now. His life's gonna be good.
He doesn't deserve it.
They bring out the dead body.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
He's like, annoy him. And he's like, I told him to fuck off. He's like, well, that does it nowadays. Like, that would
cause all this. Was this Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
What did this pizza guy do, Shane? Because obviously...
He ate that pizza, bro. That sounds like he returned to sender, right?
That's funny, yeah. No, funny. Someone's like, he's eating the pizza?
no, fuck, this guy's got to go. And obviously, Kim Song's going to kill himself for Colin Farrell. But he's like, nah, fuck, I'm going to kill the pizza guy instead.
No, no, he was never going to kill himself. He's just like, a stupid alibi. This pizza guy must have deserved it, though. Even though he seemed pretty sad.
He looks, you know, like a pedophile, yeah. To be honest.
He looked creepy.
He looked creepy. But yeah, he gets put in the back of an ambulance, Colin Farrell's character, Stuart. He takes off his watch, which symbolizes that he's done being fake. And he's going to be honest to himself from now on. Honest to his wife.
Maybe.
And put a piece of shit, takes his watch off, lays it back down, relaxes, and then he starts to fade in.
We got a Kiefer.
And this is obviously a reshoot because Kiefer Sutherland rocks up.
You think this is a cameo, Tony? Would you say it's a cameo?
Well, when I was a kid, like, was it a cameo? They're getting Kiefer Sutherland the fucking stuff for like the last 10 seconds?
I think it's a cameo.
Obviously, I didn't.
Even though he does all the voice work.
He does, it's all a cameo, mate. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like not even a day of shooting.
He's like, you hung up. I didn't have a chance to say goodbye. And he's like, pretty much saying, if you're not honest with your wife, you'll be hearing from me again.
He literally says that.
Yeah, we got slow motion bird's eye view of him leaving the crime scene, which is insane. Because you'd think
with the suitcase,
no one would be anywhere.
With the sniper.
Yes.
Got some balls.
Pretty obvious.
I don't say it's obvious. Like, I feel it's one of those things where it's so brash and you think you have the guy, like, you just would let it go. Like, the confidence, man, is insane. Like, you have to respect it. Now, this would be very Twilight Zone-y for some reason if Kiefer Sutherland was the driver of the ambulance and just took him off somewhere. That's what I was expecting.
Yes. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Isn't it funny? You hear a phone ring, and it could be anyone.
Yeah.
But a ring and a phone has to be answered, doesn't it? And then fucking...
Yeah.
It fade to black, and then you go to the satellites, and then phone picks up. Hello?
Yeah.
And then we have a fucking sequel bait.
Yeah. I know it was never sequel bait. It's just like a fun way to end the movie.
Do you know it was George Clooney, Shane, answering the phone?
I don't think it was George Clooney. I thought it was Joel Schumacher. I listened to it a couple of times. I think it was Joel.
Joel Schumacher, the director.
I think so. I think it was him saying hello.
Hello?
No, it wasn't as feminine.
It didn't sound
it did sound a little bit weird.
It'd be cool if you get like a mad, like Brad Pitt saying hello. Yeah.
Problem with this ending, Tony, because I thought like, oh, this movie was a fun time. Didn't take itself too seriously. The way they ended with the VO was like, they took themselves very seriously at this point. That's what I got from it. I was like, they're just fucking taking themselves very, very seriously. All right. So that was Phone Booth. Hope no one phoned it in this episode because I don't think Colin Farrell phoned it in. Anyway, it was a great time. This is not one of the movies you put on too often. I feel like every 5 years, 10 years is enough. Because not much happens. It's a good runtime though. Give it a. I want to amend my rating for Sudden Death from last week. I gave it 6.5. I'd probably give it a 5 out of 10.
It's even worse.
Yes, like it's a fine movie, but something like I'll give this movie a 6. So I need to start working out my ratings a bit better. I think I give everything a 6.5 if I don't like it. So, and you'd be more. What do you call it?
What's
pretentious? Pretentious, yeah. Be more pretentious now. All right, what are you doing, Tony? What's this? What's your rating?
It is not as good as Heights and Hawk.
Or The Negotiator.
This is definitely a one. You got to watch this movie once in your life. This is definitely a movie you want to see before you die, just because it's like a movie called Phone Booth about a guy stuck in a phone. Like, you got to watch that movie.
Yeah,
it's entertaining. Acting, but everyone is top notch. I feel like you can't point to a bad performance. Oh, sure you can. Chris Sabian looking dude? It's actually pretty insane. He does look like they modeled him after the Negotiator character. But yeah, we'll watch again with my daughter when she comes of age to watch The Phone Booth.
Nice. And this is a good daddy daughter. Watch on Father of the Bride or something. That movie's gonna fuck you up, bro. When you get older,
yeah, we'll see.
It's a daughter, like, you know, you're playing basketball with her outside and shit.
She does be jet. Oh, well, yeah, I thought we'd be crying.
Yeah, it's actually quite an emotional movie. And it's the girl who did What Women Want, Nancy something. What a fucking name,
and,
Nancy
Myers. That's all right. Anyway,
yeah, it's good. No.
Ring.
Yeah,
this time you don't answer the fucking phone. So we proved this movie's wrong.
Oh, I didn't. All right, so let's go for Nancy Meyers' top things. So Something's Got to Give. That's the Jack Nicholson one. The Holiday is a pretty big hit for her. The Intern, Father of the Bride, Parent Trap. Yeah, that's pretty much what she's famous for.
So it's Father of the Bride. So big.
Father of the Bride, The Holiday, and Something's Got to Give. And the other movies come like pretty much all straight in a row. And so he goes, Parent Trap, What Women Want, Something's Got to Give, and The Holiday. All three in a row. Sorry, what's that? Five in a row.
Okay, that's pretty good.
It's great.
All box office success. Mm.
All right, so let's go to some Oscar picks. I'm going to give mine to Joel Schumacher. I think...
Best director.
Best director. I think he keeps movie...
He gets the blame for Batman and Robin. He gets the credit for the phone.
That's right. What goes around comes around. I think he reinvented himself for this. I feel like he took risks.
He said it was challenging.
Yeah.
Like... He actually gives all the credit to his crew.
Does he really? Like, yeah, good on him.
Yeah,
he and he's like, editor. His editors like, should be.
His quote was this: "Like it's easy to say action and cut, but these are the guys."
Yeah, I love him. He's a fucking awesome guy. I love him in interviews. I think he's a really kind person. So yeah, he definitely gets my Oscar. Hope I gave it to him in Batman Forever, but I have to listen to that again.
I'm gonna give my Oscar to Colin Farrell. Great performance.
Hey, dude!
The movie hinges on him, mate. If you weren't feeling it, it'll be on him. Like it was do or die, and he delivered.
Yeah. Okay, so great Oscar picks. Let's go to the next segment, which is what movie we're doing next. Yeah. So we end the podcast same way for this next episode.
We're doing Paycheck, right?
Yes. It's either Paycheck or The Recruit for me and you. It depends. If you go on it with Jordan. Now, Jordan's
situation. The pay trilogy.
Yeah. Well, Jordan's movie, Mother, is starting to turn into Reindeer Games because I've been promising Mother for like 3 or 4 weeks because Jordan keeps not being able to make it. He's been doing, short notice movies, which has been short movies, short run times, just so we can do it quickly.
So it'll be Sunday we record next?
Yes. I'm trying to organize it with her. It should be Sunday.
There's a maybe because my mother-in-law might be over, so
So if she's over, you're out. I don't know if it's mother or what. But if not, it's going to be The Recruit, I think. I think we need to do a Pacino movie. We've got Colin Farrell, Colin Farrell appetizer. You
know, Pacino.
Colin Farrell appetizer, and we can just get some Pacino in our bloodstream. I need to talk about it. All right, so that was Fans on Film. If you want to request a movie, email us on fansonfilm@outlook.com.
Everyone's gone, mate.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello?